Hey, everybody, welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is September 19th, 2023. I'm Trey. That's Mark. What's up, Mark?
Nothing, buddy. I've got a fun show today. It's all circus shit. Circus shit top to bottom. It's a little bit of stuff to be mad about in the middle. I got circuses in Texas, circuses in Congress. Just sort of like, I don't know, it's like, you know, the old myth, Emperor Nero fiddle while Rome burned. Instead of Congress, like, getting their tits honked at Beetlejuice. Talk about all that. Let's start with Texas, because we talked about the Ken Paxton impeachment a couple weeks ago. And update, he beat all the fucking charges, buddy. He's, there is no bottom, man. This guy, in case you've forgotten what he's accused of, he basically used the powers of attorney general to try to run interference for his buddy, who was a real estate fraudster, who was trying to defend him from the feds.
I remember being like, man, you know this guy's a piece of shit. If even the ultra conservative Republican supermajority in Texas is like actually coming for him or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then the fact that they just turn around and let him off at the end of that, like, totally checks out, except that I just kind of can't believe it even got that far in the first place. If this was how it was going to end up, you know what I mean? Like, why didn't they just keep letting him do what he was doing without drawing everybody's attention to it? You know,
to be charitable, they were trying to do the right thing after not for a long time, but his revenge tour with the powers of the attorney general against, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of like House Republicans catch stupid charges. He's that fucking crooked. He had 16 charges, I think, and the most they got was 14 of 30 votes to convict. I think they needed 20. Two Republicans, Kelly Hancock of Fort Worth and Robert Nichols of Jacksonville, both voted to convict on 13 counts each, so props to them. But every other GOP member voted to acquit on all the charges. It just reminded me of, like, did you read that, you know, Mitt Romney announced his retirement? They released an excerpt from his autobiography last week.
Yeah.
And I was reading, he was talking about how scared all of his colleagues are, like, literally in fear of their lives with, like, the MAGA movement. That's why they won't, like, stand up to a lot of them. Like, he's spending $5,000 a day on security for his family so they don't get murdered. And I'm like, all these people are just fucking scared. There's no way to run a democracy. I was going to say I can't fault them, but I can, because you asked for the job. Yeah, you literally campaigned for it. But this trial was just fucking surreal, man. His mistress got out of testifying by saying she was going to plead the fifth. And I'm like, what criminal charges is his mistress facing? Because, like, having sex with Ken Paxton isn't, like, really a crime, nor is it taking a no-show job from that real estate tycoon buddy of his. So I don't know what she's up for. Meanwhile, his wife, Angela Paxton, who's a state senator, has to sit through the whole thing. She sat there gazing at her wedding ring, thinking about what a dutiful wife she was, while listening to all this testimony about him cheating on her. And she tweeted a bunch of Bible verses, specifically James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. She also gave a speech to church right after he was acquitted, where she talked about God wanting her to feel this powerlessness as a lesson. It's like, what a grift, man.
Yeah.
You and your wife, and she chooses to believe God had you cheat on her to test her faith.
Yeah. This is some real, I mean, we said this every time it comes up, but this is like some real old school, you know, Southern people with power, stand by your man type shit. The only thing that makes any different at all is that she's like, she's also in the, she's a politician there, right? Like, she's an elected. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's the only thing that's weird about it, other than her just being like, you know, a timid housewife and acting this way or whatnot. I mean, and the fact that it's not 1954. Right.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, this is, I don't know.
Yeah. This is all over. The state senator, Lois Colchrist, in her opening prayer before the final votes, said the Lord is our judge, basically meaning that, like, it's not our role to judge Ken Paxton. It's Lord's role. It's like, yes, but you are his Lord, judge.
Right.
You ran for office to be in this situation, to be his fucking judge.
If the Lord votes to convict him, then I guess we'll convict him. But we're going to have to see which way the Lord votes. Like, I don't think the Lord, you know, I don't think he's turning up for this vote here. And it's also like, question is that like, you could just do whatever you want up until you die? You know what I mean? Like, however long you live, as long as you're still alive, until you die, and then the Lord can judge you. No one else can judge you, no matter how many crimes you do in front of all of them.
Yeah. Republicans love quoting Tupac lately. Only God can judge me. Yeah. So the prosecution's case was really straightforward. They had a bunch of evidence. Like, in the defense, like, okay, so one guy, State Rep Jeff Leach of Plano, you know, the way this works is the House, because they impeached him, presents the prosecution's case, sort of, and then Paxton gets the amount of defense. So that this State Rep in the House, a guy named Jeff Leach of Plano, at the end of his presentation, gave a speech using evangelical language, trying to, like, be the honest, upright Christian guy, told senators he had a longtime friend of Paxton, a mentee, and a brother in Christ, and said casting a vote to impeach Paxton had been one of the most difficult moments of his life. The inference being, if I can do this, you can too. Be brave. Mm-hmm. And in response, they said, nope, I'm not going to do that. Defense we talked about was presented by Tony Busby, a big-time Houston litigator. Put this picture out if you got it, because I want people to see the whole party's turned to Trump down to painting their face orange. Like, look at this. It's not even a good spray tan. You can see the line around below his hairline.
Yeah, this dude's like a big time, like, you know, one of them, like, ambulance and headline chasing, you know, big public image scumbag lawyers. He's been all over the place, like we talked about before.
Yeah, like you said, he did represent Deshaun Watson's victims. So he was on the right side of that. But like,
and somebody else too, right? Some other big public case that was, I can't remember which one it was, but yeah.
So Busby presented a slideshow with crude visual aids in his closing argument, among them a picture of an empty bucket, a picture of four empty buckets, a donkey's ass, and a pale blue screen with the word "so good it hurts." And I tried to figure out what any of that was about, but it doesn't matter. They were going to vote to quit anyway, because the MAGA movement turned this whole trial into like a referendum on Trump somehow, whether or not corruption is okay. And they desperately want it to be okay, because Axios had this this piece about how, like, how hard the senators were lobbied and pressured. Let me quote here from it. It was made clear to Texas GOP senators that they'd face a very well-funded primary opponent in their next election if they voted to impeach. Being a Texas senator is not even a state senator is not even a cool gig. It doesn't pay any, it pays like, I don't know, 10 grand a year or some shit. And you don't have a lot of power. It's basically just a, you know, a resume bullet point. And they still are so afraid of losing it that they'll, like, let this guy wield the levers of state corruptly to, like, you know, the defense was like, well, sure, he did use the AG's office to run interference for his criminal buddy, who then paid to remodel his kitchen and gave his mistress a no-show job. But they just did that stuff for each other because they're friends. They both truly believe they were doing the right thing by helping each other out. It's like, I can never know what's in another man's heart, but I know what fucking corruption looks like, and I hate this shit so much.
It says it was made clear to these other GOP senators that they'd, you know, lose their job, basically. Like, so made clear by who exactly? Like,
a bunch of big time political donors who are allied with Trump and higher, like, bigger politicians like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Ted Cruz, who were both really celebratory over Paxton winning this. So he's, you know, Paxton probably moves on to bigger office. He should have voted out years ago. He's still facing prosecution for securities fraud, and so he's still got federal charges hanging over his head. But he's been delaying those for 8 years now. So I don't know. But, like, Texas is such a weird place, man. I really love living there. But, like, corruption costs. This story was out there last week about the Texas power grid, which is
a rickety pile of shit. Right, yeah. Right. Like, every year, both in the winter and the summertime, it's like, it's a story, and it never changes.
So, just to catch up, America has three power grids. You got the East Coast, the West Coast, and Texas. And the reason Texas has its own power grid is pretty explicitly to avoid federal regulations so they can gouge customers. It's purely so they can do grifting and fraud and, like, scam off the top shit. There's been a big Bitcoin mining operation in Texas. Bitcoin uses a ton of goddamn electricity. Bitcoin has fallen off as an actual product, but this company is still mining in Texas because what makes it profitable is whenever there's a big power surge or a power crunch, the state will pay them, this time, $31.7 million to shut down. So they're just purely destroying the environment to make worthless Bitcoin bitcoins. So the state will pay them to not make Bitcoins whenever the power grid's about to fail. It's just like corruption. Damn. Corruption destroys shit, people's lives and shit. These are tax dollars. These are jacked up power rates.
Getting into, me and Corey were just talking about this on POA, actually, I think, with, like, I think it was me and somehow, like, corn subsidies brought up or something like that. But it's like getting into any of these positions where, like, you get paid to not do something, or like getting, like, a big time coaching job and a big long contract and getting fired. Like, anytime someone pays you to not do what you do, It's just, I don't know. How do you get in on that, man? I picked the wrong industry here or something. The wrong pursuits, because that seems pretty sweet.
It's also funny when people are so ambitious they fuck it up. Like Matt Rhule got fired as coach of the Panthers, which means they have to pay you out the rest of your contract unless you get another job.
Right.
So he got another job, lost right. that payout, and then just got his ass handed to him by Deion Sanders in the Colorado Buffalo.
Yep.
So yeah. Like, it's just like, just why can't people just sit at home and with free money? I don't fucking understand it.
I don't understand it either.
Anyway, the state of Texas should, go arrest these motherfuckers instead of paying them to not make their worthless, socially destructive product. So, yeah, my take.
Absolutely. All right. With us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, I want to remind you of a few things. Of course, if you want to see me perform live, go to treycrowder.com. I'll be in Ohio, pretty much every city in Ohio over the next 5 days. So if you're an Ohioan, please come see me. And then we got Lexington, some Washington dates, and bunch more after that. Go to treycrowder.com. Come and see me. Also, today's the big day. Me and Corey's book, Round Here and Over Yonder, is out now as of today. Thank you, Mark. You can get it. It's a comedic travel guide. We do believe it is very funny, and you will enjoy it. It's available pretty much wherever you get books at. Or if you're an audiobook person, me and Corey read the audiobook. So that's a good time, too. Let's see. What else?
If you'd given them odds, what do you think Corey's high school teachers would have bet against Corey being a twice published author?
All of it. I don't have to speculate. You don't know this. This is true. That was so much what they thought of Corey that when the first book came out, he got copies, signed it, and mailed it to his high school teachers to like shove it in their face. Because of exactly what you're saying, right? Like that, yeah, that's how much they didn't believe. And it's funny because like I was like the smart kid in my high school. It's like, yeah, I don't have that kind of spite. Like, yeah, all those rednecks in small town Salina that always told me that I was brilliant and could do whatever I wanted to in life. And you sure were right. Thank you. Thanks for the nurturing and encouragement. But yeah, Corey had a bit of a different situation. But anyway, also. Quickly, two notes on the show. First, if you watch this show only, if you ever listen to podcasts, if you go to your podcast app and subscribe to it on there, it would help us out. We appreciate it. Numbers, numbers, baby. And then lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, what you can do is you can go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and look me up. Sign up for the Skews Patreon. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We're going to be doing one later this week. We cover things that happen in between the main show or just things we didn't get to or just stuff we want to talk about. It's a good time. We hope you will consider it. Get some more skews in your life and support the show in the process. Now, as Mark alluded to, we got a lot of big top shit for you tonight, a lot of circus stuff. There's plenty of genuine problems in the world right now, Lord knows. And instead of focusing on any of those, as well as a government shutdown looming on the horizon, our Congress people are out here pulling their titties out in the theater and talking shit about John Fetterman's shorts. So that's fun. We'll get to that a little bit later. But first, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, anyone who doesn't understand that bosses couldn't just fire all their workers and then have a nice, peaceful, empty factory. There, this is Tim Scott when asked about the auto worker strikes.
I think Ronald Reagan gave us a great example when federal employees decided they were going to strike. Either you strike, you're fired. Simple concept to me. To the extent that we could use that once again, absolutely. The second thing I would do, though, is...
This is going to serve as our auto worker strike update because a couple things are driving me insane this week. Combined with Jim Cramer went on CNBC and said that the executive should threaten to move all the jobs to Mexico as their counterproposal for the UAW's asks. And shit like this makes you want to, like, it's probably a good thing I'm not president right now because I'd go full Chairman Mao. I mean, I'd probably like behead a couple people and fucking like, wealth tax all the CEO's salaries and distribute it to labor and put the fucking union worker in charge, the union boss in charge of the factories. This shit makes me so mad, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all of that is very much like, that's kind of straight out of the playbook for a lot. I've had buddies that have worked at places in like in Tennessee and stuff that try to get a union thing going. And that's what they're always told immediately is just like, you know, well, you know, if you want this place to be here at all, if you want all of these jobs at all, you won't do that. Cause if you try that, we'll fuck off forever, you know, to somewhere that won't bitch when we pay them a pittance. That plus the threatening to fight, you know, if you want to have any job, don't even think about striking is like, that's the first place they go to, I feel like.
Right. I mean, this like the people cannot, there was like a viral video from some guy, some like Australia, like investor, who was talking about how we need a 50% increase in employment to discipline labor because people are getting too cocky to remember who they work for. And I feel like the ruling class is going fucking insane because I've had it so good for so long with like free money from the federal government via zero interest rate loans. And then also the workers like being desperate and they can't, neither thing is true anymore. And they don't know how to actually do their jobs. Like, you're the CEO of GM. Your job is to manage a company in a competitive landscape that also rewards your workers. I'm sorry, that's the fucking job, right? And the media is they're also driving me insane because we get these, like, these stories out of remove. Like, they're absolutely failing us to describe anything that's going on accurately with, like, how politics tangibly touches people's lives. Here's a headline that was in a New York Times last night. Trump to woo striking union members in Detroit, skipping second GOP debate. So to try to, like, counter-program the debate, he's going to go, like, I don't know, give a speech to a bunch of union workers in Detroit, some of whom are auto workers, not all of them, but they're probably going to be hand-picked MAGA supporters. Because...
Right. You know, what is his, like, what's he got to offer, like, these striking union people? Like, what's his... He's not pro-union, right? He's like the corporate overlord guy or whatever. The tax cut man. Like,
and you got
to
get to
like, goes to like Ohio and says he's going to, you know, buy everybody a burrito and then walks out without doing so and shit like that. But like, you know, he's
here's like the closest the Times come to actually stating that. It like the 15th paragraph, it says, Mr. Trump has not directly addressed the wage demands of striking workers and has attacked the union leadership, but he has tried to more broadly cast himself on the side of auto workers. What the fuck does that mean, dude?
Right.
What does that mean? Like, how a politician tries to cast himself is not your job to report that. Your job is to report the gap between how he's trying to cast himself and what the reality is. Right.
Right.
You're not there to do the right copy for the politician's fucking website. And the support here is bullshit. Like, they can't, like, that's the story here. What does more broadly mean here beyond pure, like, aesthetics? The article doesn't list a single pro-union position of substance. It doesn't address Trump's, like, unprecedented pro-corporate National Labor Review Board, his pro-corporate Supreme Court picks. It's about to fucking get rid of all workplace protections, his pro-corporate record tax cuts. It's all vibes and madness, man. It's like he just, like, puts on a hard hat and... New York Times political desk has no idea what to do with a Republican puts on a hard hat.
Well, that's kind of like, that's sort of like his whole thing, I feel like, is it's like, you know, he's like somehow the champion of like the working man in middle America or whatever. Like, that's the narrative or a huge part of his base and whatnot, despite being actively antagonistic towards everything about their actual day-to-day lives and how it affects them and everything. But, you know.
Yeah. And it, like, and Democrats, like, interpersonal ambivalence to this, like, I'm not talking about their policy positions. Joe Biden's policy positions on labor are pretty good to good. But, like, where is he on this? We're going to talk about that in a second. But, like, the Republican Party is pretty clear about how they feel about workers. Not just Tim Scott. Nikki Haley went on Fox and said, quote, when you have a president that's constantly saying, go union, this is what you get. The unions get emboldened, and then they start asking for things that companies have a tough time doing.
Yeah, right.
That yeah. Right. At least she's being honest.
Right.
The New York Times asked her, she'd fucking say. But like the idea that like I don't union leadership's not going to be befuddled by this. But I read a piece like interviewing like on the line union workers who are really really pissed at Democrats. A lot of them did vote for Trump in 2016 and 2020 because they don't see. They don't see it in their face what people are doing to help them. In his defense, the union president does get it. It's just Sean Fain. If you want to throw this statement up on the screen, Matt, this is on Trump's talking about Trump's plan to visit Detroit. Every fiber of our union is being poured into fighting the billionaire class and an economy that enriches people like Donald Trump at the expense of workers. Right. Okay. So, but the media. I'm consistently, you see stuff that's such fucking nonsense. You're like, I have no choice but to believe that a lot of the, like cable news and the national media that relies on clicks actively wants Trump to get reelected. I want to throw this headline up here because I found it completely maddening. The CNN headline yesterday, Criticism mounts after Biden brings Americans home.
What?
There were some hostages in Iran.
Yeah.
And to get them freed, they had to free like $6 billion were frozen in some Iranian bank account, which is just the cost of doing business. And I got to say, if I'm one of these people hugging my family after being held hostage in Iran, I don't care about these fucking critics.
Right.
Why is the story framed this way? Because this isn't like, you know, like whoever's writing the headline does not, hostages happy to return.
Right. Thank yeah, Biden. Exactly.
It's
yeah.
also a headline choice there.
Right.
And you put the Republicans being like, this is another example of American, Joe Biden's weak American foreign policy or something. And like paragraph 46, because it's the least important part of this story, the humanity of people being returned seems the main thing. But like part of the reason this dynamic exists is like, they're not filling in the gaps. The Democratic Party has relied on the national media to sort of do their messaging for them for decades, and they don't know how to create news clips, right? Like, so there's a story out, like, okay, let me read this Washington Post headline. Many Washington Democrats urging Biden to walk the UAW picket line. The White House has resisted thus far, but almost certainly it would almost certainly be unprecedented. Now, okay, I don't care. Like, you understand if Trump walks the picket line and you don't,
right.
Even if your policies would help these workers and his wouldn't,
right.
How that's going to look.
Yeah, right. Because the whole thing with, like, you know, you said earlier, they don't, you know, so many of them voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020 because they don't trust, even though, despite what the policies are, there's just, it just feels to them like, you know, the Democrats hate us. You know what I mean? They think we're all deplorable, or they look down on us, or we're a waste of their time, or whatever, like that whole thing, and just not showing up. I just don't understand why he's tried, you know, a big part of his whole thing is supposedly been being pro-labor or trying to be. I don't know why you sit this one out or whatever. Is that, he says it's unprecedented. I'm just asking, like, did it used to be a thing where like presidents historically didn't engage in that type of shit or something? Or like, you know what I'm saying? Is it like a tradition or an unwritten rule or something? Or like, because otherwise I don't understand why he wouldn't do it.
You don't want to, usually like pick fights with industries like this, but like that's, we're not normal. Every time, when I say we're not normal times, every time is different, right? Mm-hmm. History is constantly different, changing. It echoes itself. But like, you're not going to get like, you're going to compare this exactly to the political dynamics that happened in like when there were a bunch of strikes in the 1940s, for example, in the middle of World War II. I understand the security probably be an issue for a president walking a picket line, but like, you can figure this shit out. But main thing is like, they don't seem to understand why they should have to, because they think they've done all the right things and people should just know that. Like, for example, what Biden knows that the media doesn't want to tell anybody, or like that Republicans are going to tell them, is when Trump was in office, we talked about the MLR, he backed up fiercely anti-labor NLRB, as we talked about. Also, these judges are terrifically anti-labor and pro-corporate. He stabbed his White House of Wall Street execs. He passed a massive corporate tax cut. He tried gutting Medicaid and the American Affordable Care Act. And he has since berated the UAW president, Sean Fain, on Truth Social. All right. So it's understandable, but the White House might be frustrated, confused with how this would be spun. But I don't care. This is the reality you live in. You got to play things as they are. Like, this is if you want CNN to talk about how you're on the auto worker side, you got to go walk around down there. That's the game.
Yeah,
I don't want to find it short either.
You know, I mean, people have been talking about it for years about the whole voting against their self-interest things or whatever, but it really is one of the most infuriating aspects of American politics is that, like, you know, the perceptions are so skewed between the party who, like I said, actively fucks regular people over and the party who tries to work for them in the minds of so many, like, you know, working people, and that they'll do not just what Trump's doing, but like, you know, when they had the GOP debate and they were all sharing Richmond, north of Richmond, and they played it at the debate and all that stuff, is like, see, this guy gets it, right? And it's like, You are the people doing all the shit that he's mad about in the song. Like, you are the people who fuck all these people over, but they do that and then pander to them and it works somehow. And like, it's just, like maybe the one single thing that drives me the most insane about American politics.
I keep bringing this up because, like, I brought it up before this piece, the New Republic a couple of years ago called, Whose Side Are You On? Like, the Democrats don't answer the question, whose side are you on? All right. It's not that they're not like, it's like Republicans are actively fucking over workers and Democrats want to play like a referee who tries to call a foul occasionally workers get fucked over or at least right. seen that way because they got friends. Being liberal or left wing is harder in politics. It just is. The game isn't fair. You can be perfectly aligned to all your interests and donors when you're a Republican. When you're a Democrat, you have to take corporate CEO money to compete and right. then turn around and fuck your friends.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So which brings us to the fact that Joe Biden is personal friends with the CEO of GM, Mary Barra. All right? So this isn't one of those cynical – I'm not about to do something cynical about how he's like doing it for corporate greed or whatever. She's just been really helpful with the green energy transition. Like she's helped, she's part of his, she's visited the White House 8 times, as far as anyone knows. And she's played a crucial role in helping the administration develop a national car charging plan. So when you're trying to do good things, like have workers have good benefits and also transition to green energy, those things are sometimes going to be in conflict. Remember we talked about last week, how the UAW hasn't endorsed Biden because they don't think he's not done enough to make sure the new electric vehicle factories are unionized. All right. Cause he's trying to go fast. So the planet doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to walk and chew gum at the same time, buddy. I'm sorry. You're not going to get your green agenda unless you win more elections and you do that by helping voters and looking like you're on the side of being on the side of the working man. So like, you just got to do that. You got to do the vibes, man. You got to go down on the picket line and tell the cameras that your friend, Mary Barra, while you respect her personally, is wrong on this issue and she should pay her goddamn workers. You don't have to be mean. You might have to get kicked off her Christmas card list. All right. You might have.
Do you think it's just that, or it's just that there's a lot of Mary Barras in Joe Biden's realm or sphere. You know what I mean? Like that's the, cause that's why I just keep going back to like, why wouldn't he do? There's so many things we talk about all the time in the show. It's like shit that just seems like such a layup that Democrats mm-hmm. just don't even attempt for some reason. And it's always maddening. Like this feels like one of those to me, but I guess it's like I said, you know, Mary Barra, that's his buddy, and there's probably more of them like that you know, mm-hmm. support him behind the scenes or are integral to, you know, his goals in terms of fundraising and the campaign and that type of shit. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's like, it's yeah, you know, there what might else be, can you do? You got to have the big money coming from somewhere.
There might be other political problems I'm not thinking about. Like, say, Joe Biden goes down there and then the workers win, and then car prices go up a couple grand for the next election. The Republicans run campaign ads saying Joe Biden made your car more expensive. It could be that kind of shit. Like, you know, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Dude, the thing that kills me about that, because like you're right, like that would happen, but it's like the fucking things are going to go up anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what they always say. It's like, if we do that, you guys want us to pay people so they can live, but if we do that, you know, the price is going to go up, right? And it's like all the prices for everything have just been going up anyway, and you're making revenue yeah. profits and whatnot. So, like, what fucking difference does it make? Except now, you know, your workers can afford to live. Like,
and also, prices are completely untethered to costs until the point where it costs more to make than you can get from selling it. Then you go out of business. But, like, people right. don't set price. They'll be like, well, it cost us $15,000 to make the car, and we want to make $5,000, so we sell it for $20,000. That's not how they set prices. They set prices. What's the most someone will pay for this car? And that's the right. price. It has right. nothing to do with what it costs to build it. I know that, but I'm saying what the tack ads are going to say after prices go up.
And you're right, for sure. I mean, all the fucking inflation and gas prices shit, you know, he's been just pelted with it his entire tenure.
Oil prices go down and gas goes up. Why? Right. Because they can get it, because they can charge it.
Right.
But the thing is, like, auto workers are going to win this strike. So you want to at least be on the winning fucking side of this, because otherwise you're going to look like a complete dipshit. I saw this. This is pretty funny. The part of the strike tactics they're using is like, they're running like you remember how, like, when we did D-Day, the army dropped like dummies over top yeah. of, France in the wrong place.
Now, that's not Paperclip, is it? Is Paperclip the Nazi one?
Yeah,
Operation Paperclip. That's the Nazi one. It's Operation. Yeah. I used to know the name of it. Anyway, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes, drop bodies with fake info on it that misled the Nazis and whatnot. Yeah,
Operation Mincemeat, I think was the name of it.
Right. That's it. Operation Mincemeat.
The British hid secret intel on bodies. They jumped out. They shot out of a submarine tube door, and they drifted up on the coast. But there was also, like, before D-Day, they dropped dummies in different parts that looked like paratroopers. To make the German army to move around. Anyway, So the UAW is not striking every plant at once. They're doing like guerrilla strikes, pop-up strikes at different plants. And they've completely misled the auto companies about which companies are striking. So basically, CNBC reported a source familiar with UAW strategy, which is obviously a fucking op, a list of plants they said the UAW planned to strike. The big three moved a bunch of engines around and shut down various plants to anticipate it, to try to keep producing vehicles. But they were wrong in every count and at great expense. Basically, they moved engines from plants that didn't strike to plants that did strike. A complete failure by the executives, which allowed the UAW to paralyze their operations while still setting most of their members to work conserving their strike fund. So basically, they were cribbing from a trade publication, which probably got their info from some strike-breaking consultant who was completely played for a fucking idiot by the UAW. This made me laugh. They're going to win. And something I learned from this piece is, I guess, auto workers, this is the rerun of a tactic they used in the 1930s when they were striking, when they got their first union recognition from the big three.
Yeah, so, a little subterfuge, baby. I love it. Misdirection makes it fun.
Papaw wisdom.
Yeah, gamesmanship.
But talking about, like, the optics of this, and the main thing for, like, national politics is that, like, I don't think Joe Biden can win without Michigan. All right?
Right.
That's a big fucking problem for him if everybody in Michigan gets mad at him.
Right.
And he gave a speech over Labor Day where he said, he was asked about the auto worker strike. Remember, Labor Day was just 2.5 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm not worried about a strike. I don't think it's going to happen. Debbie Dingell, who's a congresswoman from Michigan, was marching Labor Day parade in Detroit when she heard about it. And she got on the phone and called the White House, got on the line with an advisor who said, are you out of your fucking minds? So it's a little bit like just openly say from your mouth, you and your workers should get a fair deal. Go about your day.
Yeah.
As loudly as possible and do it with a backdrop that forces cable news to carry it. And have the mm-hmm. talking heads argue about who's more pro-labor, Trump or Biden. Fucking do it that way. That's the new game. The New York Times is not going to write a clear and sober piece about how the Democratic Party is better for auto workers. You got to fucking do it yourself. All right.
And if he goes, like, if Trump is already, like, planning on going, if he goes and, like you said, you get a photo op out of it, they got to talk about it or whatever on Fox News, like, you know, what's their angle going to be if Trump also went? Do you know what I mean? Like, if it was just Biden going, it's like, see, he wants, you know what he wants? He wants all these companies to move their plants to Mexico and everything. That's what he's, you know, I hope you're happy, Joe Biden, when we lose Ford forever, because that's what you're doing, that type of thing. But if, like, if Trump's going there, you know, doing the same shit, courting these people or whatnot, then, I mean, I know it's doesn't mean they have to be logically consistent, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. But let Fox News do that shit about how Joe Biden is being unfair to the car companies and they'll just take the jobs to Mexico, and then cut that shit into ads that runs campaign ads that runs in Michigan. There's mm-hmm. 150,000 auto workers and the 20 members of their family they all know and talk to. That's a lot of goddamn votes.
Right.
Is all I'm saying. But I did want to say, our strike, this weird fucking thing happened where, like, Drew Barrymore and Bill Maher were going to come back without writers, and they got yelled at a lot online and then decided not to. All right. They're very small cogs in, like, a profit-making machine at, like, Paramount or at Studios or Warner Brothers. It wasn't going to be enough money to save the companies, but people got really, really mad at them mm-hmm. and sort of rightfully so, because why the fuck are you fucking over your union brothers and sisters? Feelings are a big part of this, and that's why Joe Biden should go, because you're talking about people's lives and livelihoods. You're talking about whether people can retire and whether they can provide a good education and food for their families. And that's why the emotions run so high, and why people want to see politicians fighting for them and saying the right thing. And John Fetterman talked a little bit, went down to a plant and rode around a truck and got some good media attention for it. You should do that. But I wanted to play this clip of this guy interviewing a couple of striking auto workers about their problems, because I think it's worthwhile for everyone and Joe Biden to see also.
You know, the more I think about it, you hear this term income inequality. I think that's the wrong term. This is just theft. It sounds to me like these companies are wage slavery, you said.
Yeah, wage slavery. I mean, how can someone work 6 hours, 6 days, 10 hours a week, or 10 hours a day, and still not be able to afford? We can't even afford a cat if we wanted a cat. Like,
a cat, you said?
We got kids. We can't afford an animal if we wanted an animal. Like,
I can barely afford the houseplants I have just to water them. and, you know, buy soil and stuff for them, let alone a child or, you know, a cat, you know.
I can imagine having a family to take care of, but just not feasible in today's economy. I definitely am thankful for people who, you know, are able to provide for their kids, but that extra stress, it just, did you think about that even now? It just, it's crazy.
All right, cut it back.
This fight really
You go on and on to talk about how it's a bigger picture about the whole economy in America. And again, it makes some good points. I just don't have time to play it out. But like, it's like, yeah, it's like people are, the car companies are making it so people can't have kids. That's a right. very simple sales pitch.
Yes. Yeah. And there will be people, I guarantee you, who see that clip or whatever, who think like, despite the point being like, you know, I can never have kids. I can never have a family. I mean, I can't even afford a cat. Like, that's the larger point. But there'll be people who will see that and see like, well, then don't get a cat. You don't need a cat. You know what I mean? Like, there'll be people like, this is classic them wanting to blow money on a cat instead of putting in a 401k or something. It's like, what's next? You know, drugs and whores. First the cats, then the cocaine. I know how this works with the, you know,
what's that?
Well, there'll be people who think that.
People work 6 days, 60 hours a week and want to be able to have enough money to the few hours they're not working to have something they enjoy. What right. fucking lazy yeah. piece of shit.
Yeah, but yeah. people be like that. So, mm-hmm. like, that's how they look at it.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Let's talk about dumb shit.
Yeah. So there's a lot of shit going on, a lot of problems in the world. Auto strike, for one, war in Ukraine, Cold War with China, COVID surge, spike in childhood poverty. So what's everyone in Congress up to? Let's hear what Lauren Boebert did over the weekend. Got this video, man.
Boebert. Say it three times and she appears in security video from a weekend performance of Beetlejuice with a congresswoman for being disruptive. The DCPA says she was vaping. Boebert's team denied that, said the haze was from fog machines in the show. That claim goes up in smoke when you see the video. The pregnant woman sitting behind Boebert told the Denver Post she asked her to stop vaping, and Boebert refused. Her one-woman show continued, taking flash photos, raising her hands and dancing. Often the only one to clap over. Say.
So, in their defense, honking a boob at a Beetlejuice show was some shit Beetlejuice would do. Mm-hmm. But the reason this is like important to me is like beyond being funny and silly as shit is she's in the Freedom Caucus. They're leading the government shutdown right now. She's literally one of the most powerful people in Washington.
Right.
And the government's about to close, and she's in Denver on a date. If you people zoomed in, you could see the guy honking her boob and her rubbing his dick. And like the sequence of events here is she was vaping, prayed to one behind her ass not to. Lauren said no, called her a sad, miserable person. It's a nice pretty lady who didn't want to vape smoke in her face. Yeah. And then offered to buy the pregnant lady a drink if she stopped being such a bitch.
I made a video about it, but dude, it's just like every time something happens with Lauren Boebert, it just every time I'm like, this does not sound like a congressperson. It sounds like my most trash cousin. You know what I mean? It's uh-huh. like she just reminds me of so many people, both in my family and that I went to school with and whatever, just people back home, you know, like with so much of this shit, it just kills me, dude. It cracks me up so much. It's like I said, in the like, honestly, because of that, like, you know, if she was on the other side and like stood up for the little guy and that type of thing, you know, and wasn't like a Freedom Caucus lunatic and the MAGA brigade, like if she was actually a good person who fought for the right causes or whatever, I would kind of love all this because I would be like, look, yay, finally some representation in the halls of Congress. You know what I mean? Like, she's a regular person. She's not no stuffy upper crust Ivy League, you know, silver spoon guy. She fucking puts her vape cartridges in one at a time, just like the rest of us do, you know. But
I think trying to sneak a vape is fine. I think when the pregnant lady asks you to stop, you should say, oh, my bad, and stop. But yes. Also, obviously, what got her kicked out was taking flash photographs in the middle of a fucking musical. That's going to be a no-no to the performers. And when they were escorting her out, she pulled the do you know who I am thing, which is also, yeah, that's a deal breaker for me, no matter
what. I hate that. Absolutely. I was about to say, I hate that. Yeah.
She also threatened to call the mayor, which is an interesting move. I'm going to call the mayor.
Right.
Which is like the mayor of Denver is probably a huge lib. I didn't look him up, but I doubt he's a political ally of Boebert's. And also, like, she refused to leave. And the ushers are like, we're going to call the cops. And she goes, well, fucking call them. And then the cops come and say, man, you got to leave. So they didn't take her side. So that was funny. And then She gave this statement that said, whether it was the excitement of seeing a much anticipated production, the natural anxiety of being in a new environment. Like, she's talking about why the stress of a new environment made her vape and act like a huge bitch. But the real scandal of this to people on her side of the aisle was that her date is a lib. The guy who's honking right. her boob
yeah.
owns a bar in downtown, like, Aurora,
I Aspen. Think, Colorado.
Aspen. And they put on drag shows there.
Mm-hmm.
And her defense, she said she didn't check his political affiliation. I guess he's a registered Democrat before they went on their date. So this was a first date and just casually honking each other's fucking genitals.
Yeah.
And I'm no prude. I think my wife and I did some second base stuff on our first date. I got game, motherfucker. But like, sure. this is, this, you're a goddamn cognitive trait. Like, I'm not going to be one of these fucking uppity people that says have some dignity, but have some.
Where are you at on the guy, though? I go back and forth on him. Part of me is like, you know, if this was like a, you know, sleeper agent type of thing, like, you know, like he's like he's
there's that conspiracy theory that he's like an agent of the deep state of the Democrat Party to entrap her in this embarrassing situation. It's like Antifa felt my titty and I live to tell about it.
I don't know about all that, but if he's just like if he is like a liberal and he's got all his drag queen friends and stuff and their position on it is just kind of like, wouldn't it be hilarious if I, you know, railed Lauren Boebert, never called her again or whatever, something like that, then
I can't imagine how crazy the sex would be with a 35-year-old grandmother going through a bad public divorce.
Buddy. Right. Absolutely.
So anyway, so yeah, they left the thing together. So I don't know if their night ended there or whatever. So yeah, government shuts down in 12 days and she's in Boulder getting finger blasted at a Beetlejuice show. So, up another side of the aisle, what's cable news zeroed in on by going over on the Senate? Matt, if you got this video, let's see what they're talking about.
So is Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania now dictating the dress code for the United States Senate? Karl Rove is here on that and more.
So John Fetterman wears basketball shorts.
He does.
That's a scandal. That's a huge scandal in Washington this week.
Right.
Marjorie Taylor Greene went on Twitter and said dress code is one of society's standards that sets etiquette and respect for our institutions. Stop lowering the bar. This is a lady who showed a dick pic of Hunter Biden in a fucking congressional hearing, in which Fetterman called out. He said, thankfully, the nation's lower chamber lives by a higher code of conduct, displaying ding-a-ling pics in public hearings. He also said, I figure if I take up vaping and grabbing the hog during a live musical, they'll make me a folk hero. Not to mention
a good example, like both these things ostensibly are about, like, you know, decorum or how a member of Congress is supposed to conduct themselves and that type of thing or present themselves. And like, obviously they're different. He, you know, wearing shorts is not the same as cussing out a pregnant lady and getting, you know, causing a scene at Beetlejuice, whatnot. They're not the same thing, but it's like about kind of the same thing. And like, I'm just like, to me, it's all about what they do with the position they have. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck what Fetterman wears. Cause like he goes to the front lines of the auto worker strike and he, you know, keeps it real. And he's like on the actual side of working people and that type of thing. And I don't really give a fuck about Lauren Boebert getting finger blasted either, but I do care that, you know, she's anti-LGBT and hardcore MAGA and is trying to tear apart democracy, you know, at its core. Like, that's what matters to me. And all these, like, these grandstanding high horse fucking other congressmen talking about, you know, like the fucking the standards of the chamber and the office and all that because of what he wears. It's just I just don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? It's like, y'all don't like
the part they're doing this to distract. They think it's scoring some points, but I can't imagine it's resonating with anybody. But like the thing that like bothers me about it is like it's one of those things where they're all pretending to be dumber than they are. Like, they know this isn't a big deal. Like, I can't really tell what they changed. Like, Fetterman would go stand in the doorway of, like, the caucus room and yell his vote. So he wouldn't be entering the caucus chamber with basketball shorts. And just, I guess they decided to let him walk in. All right. But, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she, like, you see those pictures of her, on, like, holding the gavel on the floor of the House with, like, the off-the-shoulder dresses or whatever. They changed the dress code in 2019 to allow that. Before that, she would have been in violation of it. I don't give a fuck. Wear dresses that show your shoulders. Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, I guess, routinely come up to vote from the Senate gym wearing gym clothes. They run up and give their vote, then run back down and complete the workouts right? So they all know this is bullshit, and they're all still fucking going with it. Joe Manchin gave him a talking to today about he needs to dress better, which I think we should do is show up in an Obama tan suit. That would rule. Susan Collins said this today, Matt, if you have this quote about, okay, I'm obviously not going to wear a bikini, but the fact is, as I understand it, I could. Go for it, Susan. I don't give a fuck.
That's what I'm saying. So what? Who gives a shit? Like, I just don't like...
Again, the government's about to shut down, and Rick Scott has got a petition going. He's got 46 signatures from senators about how they need to reinstate the chamber dress code. John Fetterman, wear some chinos. Okay, the Republic isn't going to last if you keep wearing fucking basketball shorts. But I do want to mention this. Fetterman's the subject of a lot of online discourse, not just for the basketball shorts thing.
Yeah.
But because a huge chunk of right-wing social media thinks he's a clone or a body double.
I know. That cracked me up so much when I first saw it a week or two ago or something. I saw some of those posts on Twitter getting passed around, like different pictures of him, comparing them, saying like, this isn't the same guy, whatever. And when I put it together that they were saying he had been like replaced, he had a doppelganger or body double or something like that. It cracked me up immediately because, and I know other people have like pointed this out, but my first thought was like, you think that guy has like they replaced that guy, like the most singular, distinct look having motherfucker in the entire government. That's the guy that they went to, like the objectively hardest person to physically replace in all of American public life. Probably that's the guy you're saying is a doppelganger. It's just so
funny.
So many of the senators are like completely interchangeable. They just look like different versions of the same guy on like the Guess Who corporate stooge edition board. You know, they say this guy has been replaced. It's just so ridiculous. Yeah,
the movie Dave, the president was replaced by like a regular looking guy because he was a regular looking guy. But like Fetterman's like a 7 foot tall ogre.
Yeah,
right. It's like what's the name of the guy that like was in Highlander and voices SpongeBob? Clancy Brown. They got Clancy Brown's head and got him to play John Fetterman.
I think he's the voice of Mr. Crab.
Mr. Crab. So basically, the root cause of this is there is any sense to it. I remember Fetterman had a stroke last year.
And yeah, right.
He had to do the debate with like audio processing help or whatever. And like doctor said it would, his speech and hearing had gotten better. And so they think he must have been replaced by somebody whose brain works again as opposed to just recovered from a stroke.
Right. And I'm saying, how many people do you think exist in this country who could even like, you know, fill in for him in a picture, you know, in a way that actually played or that was believable, let alone could do all the rest of it, like do senator shit, like speak in public and know stuff and that type of thing. Like, you know, it's just it'd be a hell of a thing to pull off. I guess if they believe it's a clone, and that's a little, they're like, yeah, I grew him in a lab. That's what they do. Get with the program. You know,
if you I gave a little bit too much credence to it because it's also just basic QAnon shit. But if you're wondering what the memes look like, Matt, throw up a couple of these images I dropped from the doc. So the "when my tattoos disappear" meme is so funny because the tattoos are on the front of his arms and they're circling the back of his arms where they're
so clear, right? Like, who sees that and doesn't think what you just said immediately? Because I do not understand people that see those pictures right there and their first thought isn't, well, okay, but that's clearly the other side of his arm. Like, it's the first thing that I thought. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
these
like
it's, wild.
If you want to be stupid, you can be stupid, I guess. But it's just like, anyway, Fetterman got asked about this today because I guess it got to a point where, like, but by the way, it doesn't even make sense as a scam, because if Fetterman died, Josh Shapiro would appoint his replacement with another left wing dude. So like, it doesn't even work as a scam. Like, there's no point in it. They seem to think that the government's just fucking with them just to fuck with them, which if so, more power to the deep state. By the way, talking about people who could play him, I think if you gave Triple H like 2 years to get out of shape, he'd maybe play John Fetterman. All right.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about the shutdown for a minute because we're running out of time. The coverage of the shutdown has been really annoying to me because I see updates about congressional dysfunction, but it's not congressional dysfunction, nor is it partisanship. This is an intra-Republican dispute.
Right.
No one can really figure out what anybody wants. They're just throwing shit at each other and eating shit and playing with it with Play-Doh. while the government's about to shut down. And I saw Nancy Mace gave probably the most, she went on TV and said like, oh yeah, a little bit of government shutdown. A bunch of government workers won't get their paychecks, but whenever the shutdown ends, they get back pay. So it's not that big of a deal. Most people can't go 4 weeks without a paycheck. Even if they know that back pay is coming, depending on what their spouse does for a living or how their savings are at, or whether or not they just had to put in a new fucking heat pump. So get fucked with that shit. People go to work, their jobs have dignity, pay them, you idiots. If you wonder like how this feels like for Republicans in Congress who aren't crazy right now, here's a video clip from Representative Mike Lawler, who's a Republican from New York.
This is not conservative Republicanism. This is stupidity. The idea that we're going to shut the government down when we don't control the Senate, we don't control the White House. These people can't define a win. They don't know how to take yes for an answer. It's a clown show. You keep running lunatics, you're going to be in this position.
Right. Well, rest in peace, yep. That guy's career. Am I right? Anybody smell a rhino in here? Yeah, it's coming. They'll be gunning for that guy now. He done fucked up.
Yeah, he'll never get a committee chairmanship in Marjorie Taylor Greene's GOP. Even though she's on his side, though. She's actually with the, the establishment on this fight. It's like the Freedom Caucus is like Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and a few other psychos who are truly ungovernable. And I mean that in the bad sense, not the punk rock sense. Basically a half dozen or so, between 6 and 12, bomb throwers. The sequence of events here is like congressional bullshit, so try to hang with me. What they want is up or down spending votes on individual spending priorities instead of like these big omnibus bills or continuing resolutions that like they can't decipher what's in it or pick apart what's in it. They want a standalone spending bill for like Pentagon funding. They want an up or down vote on Ukraine spending. So they don't want to do any horse trading. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I get where they're coming from, but Congress can't function like that because you motherfuckers go to work 11 days a year.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
You got to vote for it all at once or right. Work harder. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
So they wanted to do regular order for $130 billion in spending cuts, but then they blocked those bills. So then the rest of Republicans were like, okay, Freedom Caucus, you craft your own continuing resolution to keep government funding going with your cuts and immigration limits. And then they voted their own continuing resolution down. They want to zero out Ukraine funding, among other no-goes here. But it doesn't even matter what they actually want because it's dead on arrival in the Senate and Joe Biden won't sign it. So they're trying to settle on a wish list bill knowing it'll never pass and they can't even agree on their fucking Christmas wish list. Nothing they're doing logically follows any simple plan. The only way this makes sense of the plan is they want to sabotage the government and their own political party so people on Twitter can see them fighting and talk show hosts will give them high fives. That's basically the only plan that makes sense. There's nothing to do with governing or anything serious. Today, Kevin McCarthy had to punt plans to tow up a vote on the short-term spending plan just to get us through the next month or two. He has no plan to fund the government, no ideas what to do next. And today, they tried to do a standalone bill. They had to do the vote to get a vote on Pentagon funding, and House Republicans voted that down. So the one thing they usually agree on is Pentagon funding. They can't even get that. And they all fucking hate each other. And I don't know what's going to happen next. Let me read some quotes here, okay? So this is from a piece titled "Tensions Flare Inside House GOP as They Barrel Towards Government Shutdown." While they're all doing this, Marjorie Taylor Greene is spending her time tweeting out Shrek memes that have something to do with Ukraine funding. Matt Gaetz from the House floor threatened to oust McCarthy. Remember, one person can file a motion to vacate and call for the entire House to kick him out of his job as Speaker of the House. McCarthy yelled at him in private about it, said, "Move the fucking motion, try to call his bluff." Gaetz laughed in his face. Then when McCarthy was in front of cameras, talked about how it was just normal family infighting, compared it to the five families, the New York mafias. You're to mean the people that murder each other over trucks of untaxed cigarettes? That's you're comparing your interconference dynamics to?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that makes sense, dude. He's probably got, I'm sure some of these guys had like Scarface posters on their wall. Probably still do. You know what I mean? Even at 40 or whatever. They look up to crime lords.
So that exchange between Gaetz and McCarthy happened last week. But it turns out Gaetz did write up a motion to vacate and sign it. He just never filed it. We found that out because a reporter found it in a congressional bathroom. He just left it in the fucking shitter. All right. I don't know what to do with these people.
I mean,
we might not have I don't know how they get out of this. I don't know right. how we, like, the funniest possible result probably is they file a motion to vacate, and then Democrats vote to give McCarthy a speaker if they just keep being trapped in this hell. Because I don't know who they might vote for it seriously as a devil you know versus the devil you don't, because I don't know who else will be able to get the job. But also, like, a couple of sane Republicans, like that Mike Lawler guy, now he's a Republican, so he's probably, like, professional evil. He's like, I came down here just to mildly make my grandkids' lives worse in the future, and you guys are making this into a fucking shit show.
Right. Like,
just vote for Speaker of the House Hakeem Jeffries, and this national nightmare is over, and we'll give you some fucking good committee assignments. You can do a little bit of evil here and there, Mike Lawler. That's how we get out of this. Because otherwise, I don't know how we have a government in 2 weeks. So I don't
yeah.
know
what the fuck. It's going to be interesting because, I mean, you know, you don't expect, like, any kind of sanity to rear its head coming from this caucus. But it's not like they're going to just suddenly show up one day and be like, you know what? We're going to be reasonable about it. Like, you know, probably. So who the hell knows what's going to happen. Matt, we got a couple minutes left. If you've got any questions or comments for us, put them up there. Kelly Bed has left in the shitter as a metaphor for the Freedom Caucus. Indeed.
I think it's like
belongs in the shitter, says Leah Tuchel.
Prison for having sex with 17-year-olds, but the Justice Department will get out their ass. I really don't understand. Like, you can't even, like, they barely control one half of the legislative
Right. branch. Yeah.
And they act like they run the government. And there are only six of them.
I mean, that's the main thing that I think. It's like, it just pisses me off that, like, sort of like Tommy Tuberville with the military promotions or whatever. Like, it just bothers me on principle that number of, you know, insane people can have this type of stranglehold over the government as it is. You know what I mean? It's like, why can't we just say fuck what they want and do something that makes sense? You know what I mean? Like,
how Kevin McCarthy's a fucking coward. Like, right. McCarthy could fall on his sword. He could call, he could bring a bill to the floor, pass with Democratic votes. He would get ousted, but he'd be the one patriotic act of his fucking life. And then he could walk away into retirement and be a risk lobbyist for somebody.
Leah Tuchel then says, is it true Gates is going to run for governor in Florida?
I saw that story. I don't know how he wins a primary because he's like, this type of shit makes him fucking hated by the rest of the Republicans. Like, one of his big fights right now is with Byron Donald, who's another congressional Republican from Florida, who's trying to pass a continuing resolution just to get through the end of next month. And Gates has made his life a living hell. So,
Allison Haygood says Matt Gates is almost certainly going to run for governor of Florida to replace DeSantis.
Yeah, I mean, DeSantis won with every Republican hating him, so I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Susan Westenbarger says contractors like me do not get back pay when the government shutdowns end.
Oh, if you're a defense contractor, fire up a couple drones and get us out of this national nightmare, Susan. Yeah, this shit's fucking nuts.
Kelly Betts, so this is a great breakdown of the spiral in the House GOP. Yeah, that's Mark for you. That's what the man does.
I hate my life so much.
You hit at it. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it. So, listen, thank you guys for being here. Let me remind you again a few things. First, you go to TreyCrowder.com to get tickets to come see me. Come see me, Ohio. Pretty much every city you got. I'm going to be there over the next week. Also, my book came out with Corey today, the book we wrote, Round Here and Over Yonder. It's available now wherever you get your books or audio books, whatever the case may be, whatever your preference. Hell, get them both. Why not? But yeah, check it out. If you watch this show primarily, you love all the little clippy clips and whatnot and producer Matt's work, which you should. But if you do that, if you have a podcast app on your phone, if you go to it, search for the SKUs and subscribe to it on there. It costs you nothing, a little extra storage space, whatever, but it's not a big deal. And it would help us out. And then finally, if you want to show some additional support to this program, you can sign up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or you can go on Patreon and look me up. Either way works. $5 a month, full-length bonus episodes. We'll have one for you this week. And if you aren't on it now, but if you sign up now, you'll get access to a big-ass archive of them. There's a ton in there. Just, I don't even know how many, but a bunch.
Yeah, I think this week we're going to talk about some serious stuff, but also a couple of really hilarious sex scandals. So.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that. So sign up. Check it out. But the important thing is keep coming back here every SKUs day, and we will too. We'll see you in 7 days. Love you. Bye.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No, no buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.